it's wonderful to be with you all this morning. Last week was such a strange weekend, and as a staff here at the church, spent the week praying and discerning what we should do, especially regarding worship. We waited as long as we could because none of us wanted to have to put off worship. But as the weekend came, we felt it was the best decision for all of our volunteers, especially because although our pastoral staff lives right here in town, many of our volunteers and many of you don't, and you have to travel to get here. And so we're worried, especially for our early services. So we do apologize for that inconvenience of last week. And I don't know about you, but it felt really weird to wake up Sunday morning and not have to be anywhere. Especially for me, because I get here really early, and I felt like I missed something, like I was late. And I woke up and had this really weird moment, like, oh my gosh, I've missed my alarm, and then I remembered that I hadn't. It's kind of odd. So we do appreciate your flexibility. The good news is you haven't missed anything, because I was going to preach this sermon last week. So we're just shifting everything a little bit. So yay! So let's pray, and then we'll move forward with our message for the morning. Heavenly Lord, I just want to thank you for this teaching that we have this morning from Jesus about the vine and the branches. I ask that you speak to us as we look at it and help us understand you in a new and fuller way in our relationship with you so that we can live a fuller and deeper walk with you and interact with our world in a new and more loving way. I pray all these things in your holy and heavenly name. Amen. So Jesus, throughout our sermon series and these I Am sayings, has been doing something where he takes images that are unique and powerful in the Jewish culture, not new things, but familiar things to his fellow Jews, and he teaches them in a deeper way. So he's saying, you've heard this for a long time, but I want to bring you a new understanding. He's done it with images from the exile and times of Moses and all sorts of things. And this morning is the same thing. He's taking this image of the grapevine. And for Israel, they viewed themselves as the grapevine. It was very common in the Old Testament, and it was a strong image for them. They saw themselves as the grapevine, and God as the grapevine tender or the gardener. And we see it often in the Old Testament scriptures, time and time again. And I'd like to share just a couple of them with you. The first comes from Psalms, Psalm 80, verse 8, where the psalmist writes, "You brought us from Egypt like a grapevine. You drove away the pagan nations and transplanted us into your land." It was said that in the temple, above the entryway was carved grapes, and a single grape was so large, it was the size of a man's head, and the entire cluster was about the size of a man, and they were carved out of gold. Even in the Jewish culture today, you have what's called the Kiddush cup, and the Kiddush cup is a very special cup. It's holy. It's used in the rite of sanctification, and it's engraved with grapes, usually. And they use this service of sanctification for every Shabbat, which is their holy day on Saturday, and every holiday to mark making the day holy. It's a rite of purification. It's what they put their wine in to make it a holy service. These grapes were a very important image to them. But in the Old Testament, we also see the grapevine used of all the times when Israel fell off track. If we look into Hosea, we see in Hosea chapter 10 how prosperous Israel is, a luxuriant vine loaded with fruit. But the richer the people get, the more the pagan altars they build, the more bountiful the harvest, the more beautiful their sacred pillars. We are familiar with other stories of how Israel would forget that God was the one who delivered them, and they would go their own way. And as many times as we see grapes being used as a connection of Israel to God, we also see it being used as a sign of their unfaithfulness. It was such a constant image for them. And so it's no surprise that Jesus uses it in his teaching here, because it was such a strong image. And so he says in John chapter 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. That's in verse 1. And that's the image they were so used to. Jesus is the vine and his Father is the gardener. God is the gardener. But Jesus goes on in verse 5. He says, yes, I'm the vine, but you are the branches. So I want to unpack this image of the grapevine a little bit. But first, I need to confess that I don't grow things at all. I'm very unsuccessful with plants. So everything I'm going to share is through research, not through personal experience. Okay, my four-year-old is much better at gardening than me. They did not teach us viticulture in school. So if I make a mistake, I'm sorry. Many of you are much better at this than me, so please forgive me if I get my grape tending incorrect. I'm doing my best. But there's a lot of really cool analogies in the grape vine. And this was so common to the Jewish people because they farmed grapes. Tending grapes is one of the oldest plants that were farmed, starting in the Middle East. I wouldn't have imagined it. I thought grapes needed nice, pretty soil. Middle East soil is not what I imagined. But they've been farming grapes in the Middle East for thousands of years. And so this was well known to them. So let's unpack it so that we can understand what Jesus was trying to say. So the first thing for us is that Jesus says, I am the vine. Jesus is talking about the center part of the plant. We would call this the trunk. This is literally the part of the plant that goes into the ground, that roots you. Without the trunk, you have nothing, without that vine. It goes into the soil, gets the water and the nutrients. It's the part that gives life to the plant. If you didn't have it, you would have nothing else. So Jesus is saying, I am the part that gives you life. And he even goes on in verse 15, in the verse 5, which we read just a moment ago, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you're not connected to the vine, if you aren't connected to the part that's giving you life, you can't do anything. You have to be connected to the life source. Now, off of the vine are the branches. These are the arm-looking things. And they run and run and run and run. And they stretch out a long way. And on the branches grow the clusters of grapes. Now, this is the goal, right? Is to get nice clusters of grapes. And you want them to look nice, and you want them to be juicy. They're supposed to taste good. And this was a good bunch of grapes. They're very large, very juicy. They look pretty. And that's your goal when you grow grapes, is you want nice, good, fruity, juicy, tasty grapes. And so Jesus is saying that this is what I want you to do. I want you to have good fruit. Now, the thing about the fruit is it actually grows off these things called shoots. The shoots come off of the branch, and that's where the clusters attach. I know you're thinking, why do I need to know all of this? I'm going to get there. So the interesting thing about the shoots is they grow every year. The branch keeps growing year after year after year, but the shoots only grow for 1 year. And once you're done with the harvest and you pick all your grapes, you prune the shoots off. And they don't come back each year. You have to cut them off, and then new shoots grow back. And if you don't prune off the shoots, you'll just have dead ones. And then no place for new shoots to grow. And Jesus talks about what happens when you have things that are useless. He says in verse 6 that useless branches should be gathered and burned. Now, they actually weren't completely useless in their day. They used them for other things. They burned them for fuel and that sort of thing. But if we don't take off that which has already produced fruit, we have no place for new growth. Now, it doesn't mean that the shoots weren't ever good. They produced fruit. Good fruit, yummy fruit, harvest fruit. But once their job is done, they need to be pruned. Now, sometimes we need to look at our life and we need to do kind of a self-analysis. We don't do that enough, I think. I think we just get so busy and we go about our day and we don't think about reflecting. But if we do, we reflect on our life and our time and we say, okay, where does my time go? What gives me joy in my life? What gives me energy? Where does my time and energy go? What used to give me energy and joy and no longer does? We can start to find these shoots that used to really bear fruit for us, and their job is now done. And that doesn't mean that the shoots were bad. It just means they've done what they're going to do and they're finished. And we need to remove them so that they can make room for new great things to come. Now, sometimes we may feel like we don't have any shoots doing anything. A winter field in a vineyard looks really, really bleak because all of the shoots have been cut and there's no leaves. And if you look at it, you just feel like it's dead. And you're like, what's ever going to grow here? It doesn't look like a vineyard. It just looks like a bunch of sticks. And as you look out among the field, it just looks like the most depressing thing you could imagine. But in this empty-looking field, in the spring, the rains are going to come and the sun is going to shine and buds are going to come up. Because, see, buds don't get trimmed. You leave the places for the new growth, and those buds are going to come into new shoots, and leaves are going to sprout, and the next thing you know, you're going to have new fruit. So Jesus doesn't want to remove things from our lives that are going to help us grow new fruit. He just wants to help us make space for that. And sometimes when we look back, we feel like we're not producing anything. But that just means he's preparing us for our next harvest. Now, there's some other key aspects when it comes to pruning grapes. This next thing has to do with something called suckers. Now, if any of you do any type of gardening when it comes to vegetables, you're probably going to understand what I'm talking about. A sucker is a shoot off of a plant that's not going to produce anything, but then sucks all of the nutrients out of your plant. Okay, so it's not going to produce a grape. It's not going to produce a bud. All it's going to do is remove the nutrients and water. And then it's going to mean that your plant gets less. I've been told that this is very common in tomatoes as well. Again, secondhand knowledge. But if you don't remove them, then your plant is going to suffer. Now, suckers are bad. Now, this is an opportunity for us to look into our life and say, okay, now what in my life is stealing things from me? What's stealing my joy? What's stealing my time? What is it when I'm done, I have nothing left to give? When I come home, I have no more energy. I have nothing left to give to my family, to my kids, to my job, to my friends, to my God. And when God is asking you to do something, you look at him and go, God, I don't have any more time. I don't have any more energy. I have nothing left to give. And God goes, yeah, I know, because that thing over there is just sucking all the life out of you. And the thing with suckers is you have to take them off. Because if not, you will never get a good harvest. And that's the goal, to get a good harvest. And so we have to reflect on our lives and say, is there something that's removing our nutrients, our joy, our energy, our life source before we ever get a chance to get going? And is there something I can do about it? Now, there's two different types of suckers. There's these bad ones that sprout out that we don't sometimes realize, but there's also things that can appear good. One thing they do with grapes is they look for grapes that are less developed than the other ones. So they go to the grapevine and they look for a cluster that isn't ripening as quickly as the rest of the grape clusters. And it doesn't mean that these grapes are bad. It doesn't mean they're rotten. It doesn't mean they're diseased. It just means that because they're not ripening, they're keeping the other grapes from ripening properly. It may be that the vine has too many grapes. It may be that these aren't getting enough sunlight or something. But whatever reason, these aren't ripening well. And they're going to keep the other grape clusters from becoming as sweet as they should be. So the vine tender will go and pick those clusters off so that the other clusters will be as best as possible, as good as possible they can be, as sweet as they can be. And they're sacrificing these others, which have nothing officially wrong with them other than the fact that they're hurting the main clusters. They're sucking from the tree. They don't appear to be bad. So many times in our life, we have to sit here and say, what is it that's keeping me from doing what I need to do? And friends, I feel you, because I'll tell you how many times in my life I sit here and go, I just don't have enough time. And I want to do so many things that I don't have the time for. But Jesus is trying to encourage us here because he's saying, if you let me help you with all aspects of your life, you will have everything you need. And sometimes that means by bringing him in to say, where do we need to prune? Now, sometimes that's easy and sometimes it's not, but it's a prayer thing. You have to start doing that analysis of your life and asking God to show you what's going on. But his goal is for us to bear healthy fruit. He wants us to be healthy people. He wants us to do good things. He wants us to have a successful family. He wants us to have a successful job. He wants us to have a successful life. And he wants us to be connected to him. And the connected to him part is where it all starts. If we're not connected to him first, we can't be successful truly in our jobs and in our families and in our life. We can't be successful people. So many times we try to do it on our own. And that's where Israel was when Israel saw themselves literally having plentiful harvest. They literally were physically getting everything they wanted. And they said, oh God, we got this. We don't need you anymore. And they turned their backs from him. And God's saying, no, don't turn from me. I brought you out of Egypt. I gave you this land. I'm helping you have everything you need. Why are you forgetting that I'm the one that did it? See, Jesus is saying, you must abide in me. I am the vine. Without me, branches are nothing. If you don't abide in me, if you don't trust me, if you don't stay connected to me, then you're going to die. Now, we know as Christians that sometimes we lose sight of God and we may feel emotionally exhausted. We may feel physically exhausted. We may feel so worn down that we just want to crawl into bed and never get out. And we have a rundown day where we just crash sometimes because we have run ourselves into the ground. And Jesus says, if you're focused on me, that's not going to happen because we're going to do it together. I want you to do an exercise with me that comes from our book. The author of the book that we're following, Rob Fuque, does this. So if you would, stand up with me. I woke you up. And I want you to stretch one arm out. And this arm, I want you to imagine that you're grabbing on to the vine. You're grabbing on to Jesus. And you see him, and you know that he is your source of life. That he is the one who feeds you, who gives you energy, who gives you all that you need. Now, on the other hand, we're going to reach out. And this is the end of our branch, because we are the branch. And we're bearing fruit. Okay? Now, think for a second. You can look either at your fruit or at your branch, at the vine. You can't look at both. If you are worried about the fruit that you are bearing, then you are not looking at Jesus. We can't focus on both of them if we're going to be the branch. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. You can put your arms down. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us that we have to focus on him. He is the one who gives us our force. He is the one who feeds us. He is the one who gives us all that we need. And if we're focusing on the fruit, we're going to lose sight of the person who gives it to us. We don't have to worry about the fruit because he's going to feed us. He's going to tend the fruit. And God is the best gardener. Thank the Lord. So we don't have to worry about this if we're focusing on Jesus. So as Ben leads us in our last song, I encourage you to think and pray about where you can focus more on Jesus this week, where you can prune something from your life so that maybe you and Jesus can be better connected and you don't have to be distracted by the output of our life. You can be more focused on the one who it is that helps us with everything that we do and rely more on him who is our life source, who feeds us in all that we do.